amazing grace, how sweet the sound, song shall ever be. For I was born in rags of sin, I was lost and could not see.
With us this morning, I want to turn over in Luke's gospel in the 22nd chapter. And the title of what we're talking about this morning is Good Intentions. Good Intentions, you know. And it'll be part one. We'll be having part two tonight. It'll go kind of a different direction of what this morning is, the good intentions. Luke's gospel, the 22nd chapter, in verse number 33. And he said, talking about Peter, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity you've allowed us, the privilege to be able to be here today. Lord, that you would just have your way with each one of our lives. And Father, help us, Lord, that the intentions that we do have, which are good, that we would perform them, God. Help us, Lord, to not get distracted or lose focus or lose vision. But Lord, help us to do the work you've called us to do. And Father, we just love you today and we praise you. To you be all the glory for every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm persuaded to believe this morning that there are a lot of people that are in hell screaming out that intended on getting saved and they never did. Amen. They had a good intention of getting right with God before, you know, before they died, but they died before they fulfilled that intention that they intended to do of getting saved. Amen. Like the old saying, the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. Amen. How many has ever said, I intended to do that, but I just didn't get around to it, you know? We've all had good intentions in life, and we've all fell short on some of the things we intended to do. Amen. I'm sure that everyone that looked back on their life, looked back and they see a trail of good intentions that they never got around to. Here in this story, I believe Peter really intended on doing what he said. He said, Lord, I'll go to prison and to death with you. I believe Peter was top of all that he really intended that he could do that. Amen. I believe he really believed what he was saying, just like we do a lot of times that we say, yeah, I'll do that. And we really intend on doing it, but then we don't get around to doing it. Amen. Good intentions. It says in Matthew's gospel in the 26th chapter in verse 33, it said, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter had good intentions here that he would never be offended because of Christ. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. Amen. I believe they all had good intentions. I believe they was just as serious about God as we are. Amen. I believe that they had a made up mind in their heart. I mean, they loved Jesus and they really intended not. They said, we'll never deny you. We will always be with you. I'm going to do a work for you. And they intended to do that. That was in verse 35 where Peter said that I should die with thee and I'll never deny you. And likewise, all the other disciples. That was verse 35 in the 26th chapter of Matthew. And five verses later, Jesus is waking them up. They have fallen asleep already. 5 verses later, when they said, no, we intend to be with you. We intend to see this thing through and we will never forsake. We intend to do it. And 5 verses later, they're asleep on him. 5 verses. Verse 41, it says, Jesus, after he wakes them up, says, the spirit indeed is willing. The spirit in every one of us is the one that has the good intentions, but the flesh is what we're warring with. And he says, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. There's a warfare going on, and whichever one wins out determines where we're going to spend eternity. Amen? There's people out there battling flesh today, and flesh has got them captivated and captured, and they don't have time for God. Amen. It says, I believe that all these disciples had good intentions. Amen. Just like so often we have good intentions with us. The spirit is willing. Amen. When we're in church service like this and we get our faith gets boosted and we get to talking about God and doing a work for God and we get to riving our spiritual man up and our spiritual man from hearing the word, our faith gets built, you know, and boy, we're going to intend on doing a great and mighty thing for God. Amen. Come on. That's where a lot of times, you know, people in a forum like this and you get to talking and you can get on the emotion of people and you can get to talking to them and riving them up, you know, and you can take an offer and make them make pledges and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, I give $1,000. I mean, to get caught up in the emotion of it, you know, And he get home and said, why in the world did I say that? You know? But our spirit man wants to do for God. But there's a flesh man we got to deal with. Amen? You know, our spirit man gets stirred up and we're willing and we have good intentions. But the flesh is weak and we give in to temptations and to weaknesses of the flesh and to the things and situations. And we get distracted from the purpose of our life. Amen? Distractions distract us from the good intentions that we intended, really honestly intended to do. Amen? There'll be some to, right now that you'll get the feeling, the emotion of God and the presence of God this morning in this service. And you say, praise God, I believe I'll come back tonight. It feels pretty good. And before you can get back tonight, your flesh has done distracted you and you forgot about it and you won't be back tonight. How do you know that? I've been preaching here for 23 years. That's how I know. Amen. Amen. Roll me one. You see, the disciples actually, and Peter and the disciples actually thought others are offended, or said, though others are offended, we'll never be offended in you. Offended means entrapped. They will say, though other people get entrapped and they stumble and they're enticed to sin and enticed, we won't do that. We're not going to do that. You know? They really believe that. Though others may, you know, swerve or like a bent stick or trap stick, they get distracted. We're not going to get distracted. Amen? We're not going to let anything distract us from doing and following you, Jesus. That's what they're saying. Nothing is going to distract us. But five scriptures later, there's asleep. Are we kind of like them sometimes? Amen. That's where we're living, right? You might say, well, some in the Bible says, well, I intend on doing a work for God. But then what happens? You know, I'm going to do a great work for God, but. I bought this oxen and I need to go check him out. I'm going to do a great work for God. I'm going to be there. I'll be, you count on me, but I bought this piece of land and I need to go check it out and see what kind of deal I got. You know, I mean, the excuses thing, you know, I mean, I'm going to do a great work for God. Lord, I'll be there for you. Lord, I'm going to commit. Brother David, I'm going to commit. I'll be here. You can count on me, man. But I got a wife. Amen. I mean, it's in the Bible here. This stuff's in the Bible, you know. I got a wife. I mean, that's what Paul said. You know, it'd be, you know, better for man not to marry, you know, but it'd be better for him to marry than to burn. If you can't control yourself, you know, you need to get married. And it's not that Paul was against marriage, because he used marriage as a symbol of Christ in the church. He thought highly of marriage. But he's just letting us know that when we do get married, there'll be times that the Lord will want you to go do something and your wife will want you to go do something. And there you caught betwixt the two. What you going to do? Well, I'm going to do what the wife says. Come on now, let's be honest. The Lord don't fuss on you. Come on, you can use it the other way. I got a husband. I'm going to do what the husband says or the Lord. The Lord don't fuss on you, but the husband will. It works both ways. Paul is just letting us know that when we have these relationships, the least little thing can distract us from doing what God would have us to do. Amen. We all have good intentions. Every one of us in this room has good intentions. We all intend to go to heaven. How many intends on going to heaven? Well, will we allow things to distract us from our vision of getting there? Paul said in Acts in the 20th chapter in verse 22, he says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Befall means to meet with me. In other words, Paul said, I'm going to do the will of God. But he says, as I go do the will of God, there's going to be some things that's going to try to stop me from doing the will of God, to distract me, to get me to look another way, to prevent me from doing what God wants me to do. And whenever you begin to say, I'm intending on doing a great work for God, there's going to be some things that tries to stop you from doing it because they don't want the success of God in your life. Paul said, there's going to be some things there. There's going to be some things going to meet me before I get there to try to keep me from getting to Jerusalem, because they know when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to preach the gospel. Amen. He says in Romans, Paul addresses this warfare in Romans in the 7th chapter. If you have your Bibles, you ought to write a little note right here as I read along, and it help you to understand these scriptures. Because first time I read it, I said, what in the world is he talking about here? It's just talking crazy talk. But after you understand what he's talking, and he tells you right here in part of it, it explains it all. It says in Romans 7 and 15, it says, for that which I do, in other words, what I would want to do in the spirit, I allow not in the flesh. In the flesh. For what I would, that I do not in the flesh. What I want to do is serve God, but I don't do it because I'm in the flesh. But what I hate, that I do in the flesh. If then I do that which I would not in the flesh, I consent to the law that it is good in the flesh. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, that is, in my flesh. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not in the flesh. Flesh don't know how to do good. All flesh knows is rebellion and sin and an enemy. They said flesh is an enemy to God. Galatians, Romans, tells us these things. It says, where are we at? Verse 19, is that it? For the good that I would do, not. For the good that I would, I do not in the flesh, but the evil which I would not, that I do in the flesh. Neither if I do that I would not in the flesh, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do good, evil is, in other words, there's two choices in life. There is right and wrong. There is good and evil. It is heaven and hell. Amen. It is straight and narrow and it's broad. In every one of our lives, there's only two choices in life. People say, there's so many choices. No, it's only two choices in life. It's either the right thing or the wrong thing. There's no in between. There's no like, well, this is kind of all right. No, it's either right or wrong. Amen? All right. You know, what is all right? You know, yeah, somebody say, how you feeling? I'm feeling all right. Well, that's the best of worst and the worst of best. What is all right? We just say all right because we don't want to say we feel bad. Feel all right. You know, you feel bad. You either feel good or bad. You're either saved or not. That's somebody you say, well, I think I am. No, you're just as lost as all. You know you're saved. Are you married? Oh, yeah, I know I'm married. How you know you're married? I had a relationship. Well, how you know you're saved? I had a relationship. Amen. He says, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the spirit man. The spirit man wants to, the man peeping through these windows is going to live forever, and he wants to serve God. But there's a fleshly man out here who says he could care less because he's going back to dust. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you serve God. I don't care if you raise your hands and praise him. But the spirit man said, no, I want, there's something in every one of us that wants to serve God. There's something that's called us. That's who we really are. But it's a warfare. It's a warfare going on. Amen. Maybe I can touch it tonight. We'll talk about Sarah. Not Sarah Varnador, but Sarah Abraham's wife. Yeah, she's not here as long. We talk about Sarah. Yeah. She realized she married Mike and got sick. I don't know. No. It's their anniversary. See Mike back there. All right, let me go on. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the spirit man. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. It's the flesh, the enemy of God, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, here's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. Which one do you serve this morning? Which one do you serve? And then he jumps over and starts chapter 8 off, and he says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation, that is, any adverse sentence against you, to them that are in, that walk in the Spirit, right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation to you if you're led by the Spirit of God and your spirit man is leading you and you're not always chasing the distractions of flesh. Amen. In other words, if we'll be led by the spirit man that's in us, we'll do our good intentions. But if we allow flesh will get us distracted and we won't do what we're intending to do. Paul again says in Acts 20 and 22, he says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there that will try to hinder me, stop me, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. Amen. That's what Paul said. None of these things move me. He said, the Holy Ghost warned me that there's bonds, there's shackles and chains and things that will try to bind me. There's things in this life that will try to bind you from doing what God has called you to do. But I'm telling you that you should not let none of these things move you. Amen. Don't let flesh get you distracted, but do what God has called you to do. Perform your good intentions. Amen. What you intended to do. Amen. That's what we need to do. It's what we got to do. Afflictions is pressure. Burdens are a rut. You know, some people get in a rut. It's a worn track, like over in Georgia, them old red clay roads, you know, and you don't know if you ever rode in those. I mean, you just couldn't bash the gas. You just had to chug along and let it just kind of chug. But after it kind of dried out, there was a rut in the road. And you try to get out of the little rut and you fall back down that rut. That's the way some people are. They can't get out of that rut. It also means he-goat. He-goat, like the devil. It means gnawing. There's things flesh will gnaw at you. When you try to do the will of God, do good intentions for God, the flesh is gnawing at you. Gnawing at you. Come on, you need to do this. You don't really want to do that. And you don't have time. And look, you could be doing this over here. Look at all the stuff you could be doing. It's like when you're fasting and all of a sudden you get all the smells of the restaurants. You know, the thing to do is like, oh, that smells good, but you can't have none of that flesh. I ain't gonna let you have none of it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. Paul said, she don't have a scripture, but he said it in the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I've preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. I mean, if I preach to people for 23 years and then quit preaching, backslide, and quit doing good intentions, I mean, what are they going to think? Amen. I mean, if I invite people to church and I don't show up, what are they going to think? Amen. He said, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Casting down, what is an imagination? That is a reason, a concept. Casting down reasoning or concepts that are, and every high thing. What is a high thing? High thing is an elevated thing or a person. Anything that would be in front of God. Every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Anything that's exalted to raise up above or ahead of God. Anything in our life that comes ahead of God, we need to cast it down. Every reasoning that pops in our mind or a thought that says, hey, I don't need to do that for God today. You need to throw that down right now. And you need to perform your good intention that you intended to do. Amen. You know, if the disciples wouldn't have laid down, they wouldn't have went to sleep. Amen. Flesh says, you're tired. Won't you lay down? I said, you'll go to sleep if I lay down. I mean, listen. Now, you just listen to this right here. I would be, I think, hopefully smart enough that after Jesus came the first time and woke me up, you would hope that the next time I ain't laying down, he's coming back to find me sleeping this time. God, I'm going to walk around, get some water, throw in my face, and everything I could do. Something. But he kept three times, they were still asleep third time. I said, be you, Jesus. I said, what a bunch of idiots I've chose. Come on. And what do y'all think? What do y'all think? Y'all give me some input. What do y'all think? Am I just alone in this morning? Is the Lord right with this message? I mean, I didn't need anybody mighty more. What do we need to know? This is what the Lord said to preach this morning. I mean, what does it sound like out here? Maybe I need to put pulpit here, and I can see what it sounds like out here. Amen. See if it's just as real. I hear he said, but things that would hinder us, we need to, you know, hey, if we got things in our homes that's hindering us, we need to cast it out. We got things in our life, we need to cast it out. I remember one time, Sister Linda Gale preached a message on spring cleaning. Now in spring, you just want to, you know, well, you've been closed up in all winter long and no fresh air coming in, and get a good spring day. You feel like letting up the windows and opening the doors and sweeping out the trash and, boy, just throwing stuff out of the house. He said, that's the way we need to do it, our spirit man. Come on. We've been closed up in the bitterness of winter, and it's about time we need to open up our spirit man and get the trash out. Amen. And let God move in and take control. Hallelujah. Of our lives. My goodness. Quit playing church and become the church. Live righteously. You know, we're the righteousness of God. I heard a preacher say this morning, we're the righteousness of God. And because we're righteousness, we've got rights. I might preach that one day. Amen. He said in Ephesians 6:10, he said, finally, my brethren, did I finish verse 5 a while ago in Corinthians? I think I did, didn't I? Ephesians 6:10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why did he say be weak in the Lord? How do you be strong in the Lord? Well, just, you know, slow, come church every once in a while, you'll be strong in the Lord. No, I don't think so. Man, I come all the time. I still ain't strong as what I need to be. Come on, I need to be stronger in the Lord. Come on. I mean, you know, maybe I'm just a slow learner and don't get it or something, you know. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not our might, not our life, not the things of the world, but in God's might. Look up some of the definitions, some of these words. It helps you to study. Verse 11 said, put on part of the armor of God. Oh, did that say whole armor? Wait a minute now. We don't need all that today. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the, you know, the beguiling of the devil, the deceit. Amen. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. The is one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the devil comes along with his deceit. The wiles of the devil comes along and says there's other ways. There's other roads. Yeah, there are other roads and other ways, but they're false. They lead to destruction. Amen. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's warning about. It's lies. It's lies mixed with truth, or truth mixed with lies. A con man, when he comes to you, he don't come in there with and say, hey, I'm a con man and I'm here to deceive you. No, he tells you just enough of truth to get your confidence and mixes a little lies in it, and it all becomes a lie. Amen. That's the way Satan is. I could tell you this morning and it would not be the truth. I can say, you can't go out Friday night out there in the world with some of your buddies at the club and everything. You can't have no good time. Because, my friend, you'll have a blast. Oh, you'll have a good time out there. Y'all be hollering and laughing and joking and everything else. But let me tell you, come Monday morning when you get to try to find you a little morsel of bread to eat, and you done blowed everything and your pockets are hanging out and you ain't got nothing, and you know, you don't feel like going to work, so you call in. Come on. Somebody was talking about this morning, somebody's on drugs, crack and meth and all that stuff. It blows my mind. It blows my mind, man. The people, all the people's on drugs and what it does. I mean, how it just possesses them. I have seen people get thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, up in the, you know, close to $100,000. And, you know, say, well, we'll go get this money and we'll, you know, maybe tell us how to invest it or something like that. You know, okay, come to me, you know. And they get the money and they never come. And what they do, they get out there and they do drugs. And they blow every penny of it, every penny on drugs. I can't understand it. And when it's all gone, preacher, would you come and talk to us about the Lord and pray with us and help us? We're hungry. No wonder I'm gray-headed. No wonder I'm gray-headed. You don't get them calls, I do. I see people's lives destroyed, and I preach my guts out and trying to tell them that flesh is wanting to lead you to hell, and they don't listen. Don't want to hear it. You preach too straight, Brother David. I don't think I preach it straight enough. Second Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled, deceived Eve through his subtlety, his trickery. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, the simpleness of Christ. Brother David, serving the Lord is hard, Brother David. You ain't read your Bible. Proverbs said the ways of a transgressor's hard. Jesus said, take my yoke. It is easy. And my burden is light. Take the easy road. That's Christ.
I've heard some preacher have the audacity to say, well, any old dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to swim upstream. Oh my goodness, you need to thank who made the river. It was God, and God's got the water running one way, and you need to go the way of God. Amen. That's the easy way to go the way of God. Hallelujah. That river will go to the salt water, and you'll be cleansed. Hallelujah. That's where the water is cleansed.
People come up with some kind of crazy theology and try to preach it, and they, you know, don't know what the world they're talking about. It's a crazy mess. That's why you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. Workman needeth not be ashamed. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. I ain't ignorant of that old slew foot. No. Your child comes in with a little bit of rebellion. You better put your foot down right now. I ain't ignorant of that mess. I know where that's coming from, buddy. That stuff gonna stop right now. It ain't coming in this house. Amen. A little temptation try to tempt you. You better put a stop to it. Right? Don't flirt with that mess. You know, there in the garden with Adam and Eve, it said that the serpent was the most subtile beast of the field. I asked you, what was the beast of the field doing in the garden in the first place? They was keepers of the garden, was they not? Did he not leave Adam and Eve there to keep the garden? That means keep the beast out of the field. Aren't we the keeper of the garden? We need to keep it out of our house and out of our lives. Keep the beast out. Amen. First Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil. Did you realize the devil was your adversary? And some people actually talk to him. Some people even have him in their house. They tell me, said, he was in my house the other day. What you doing letting him in? Turn the light on. Thank you, brother. He listened. He listened. He said he walking about seeking whom he may devour. Let me look over here and see whom I might devour. If you're part of that whom crowd, he's going to get you. Huh? He look around and he sees that one. I didn't see nobody doing that. I just... Amen. Let me hurry here. I don't like too much more. Maybe another hour. It says, devour means to drown. He wants to drown you in all your stuff. All that stuff you got to do. No, you can't do that because remember, you got to go do this. And remember, you can't do that. Now, you can't volunteer for that in the church because you got to do this. And you got to do that and you got to do this. And he's drowning you in all that stuff. All that stuff. It's all that stuff. Look, we, after a while we get to say, well, look at all the stuff I own. No, it owns you. Come on. I had an awakening a few years back. Huh? It don't own me no more. That stuff don't own me no more, man. I woke up. Amen? He said, James 4:7, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil, Brother David? He said, in Hebrews 11:1, he says, now faith is the what? Substance. What is substance? Substance is anything applied to increase resistance. Amen. And so we take the word of God and we apply it to us and it increases resistance. Well, how does that do? It says now faith. Well, Romans 10:17. So then
Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we applied this word and it builds our faith. It makes a substance and we have resistance from the devil because we are equipped with the word of God. Amen. What did Jesus say when the devil said, take him stones and make him bread? He said, it is written, the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That's why you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's a problem with the church world. That's a problem with so-called Christians. They don't know the word. And they get beat up and beat down, and they're all confused. And they don't know what to believe in the church. That's why you got so many churches. Does it believe you sin a little bit every day? How in the world can you sin? Listen, it said in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self... in his own body. He didn't send an angel. Jesus came in his own body and died for my sin. If he came in his own body and died for my sin, why in the world do people preach you sin a little bit every day? Man. Let me go on. I'm getting all here. Let me get back in here. See, we tell on ourselves. When it says the devil's around us, and it says verse 7, we need to submit ourselves to God. Therefore, first we wasn't submitting ourselves to God. I mean, people have quoted that on, well, I've been resisting the devil. Well, did you submit to God? He said, draw nigh to God. Verse 8, evidently you're away from God. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. You what, you sinner? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James said in the first chapter, said, double-minded man's unstable in all his way. I mean, you can't use people double-minded. What's double-minded? One time they're for the spirit man, and one time flesh man. Spirit man, flesh man, spirit man. How do you know which they are? Help us, Lord. Do you love the pastor?
Amen.
Amen. When you go to court, they'll put your hand on the Bible, and they'll tell you the swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen? The truth will make you free. Numbers 25 and 16, listen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them. Who are the Midianites, Brother David? Okay, I'll tell you since you asked. They are a group of people that was always, it means contention and it means brawling. They was always trying to hinder Israel from doing what God had them to do. In other words, it's a picture of the flesh. He said, vex the flesh, vex the Midianites. You're always brawling with it and you're always contention with the flesh, you know. I mean, then I don't have time this morning. Listen to me. I don't have time. But Sarah got ahead of God talking about tonight. And I don't tell you all this, but she had Hagar. Hagar had Ishmael. Then Sarah had Isaac. Ishmael's flesh, Old Testament. Sarah, New Testament, spirit. Flesh was picking on spirit all the time. Ishmael picking on Isaac. Isaac. Picture. It's a picture of what's going on here. Hagar could not, with Ishmael, could not be heir with here. Flesh cannot be heir with spirit. Now, which one are you going to let win out? They've been fighting ever since over in Abraham, over in the Middle East. They're still fighting. Arabs, Ishmael. Israel, Isaac. They're still fighting today, flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit still fighting in the church, in the world. All started in Abraham's house. He says, vex the Midianites. Verse 18, for they vex you with their wiles. What was wiles again? Wiles is again. Let me look at it and find it. Trickery and deceit. Amen. It says, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozbi. He says, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plagues of Peor's sake. For Peor's sake. Peor means a gap or opening. It's kind of a twofold thing here. It's like when God would sit like in a service or form like this, and maybe you're lost and don't know what God, or maybe you backslid, or you're not really where you should be, and God opens up a little door. See, the Bible's not written to sinners, it's written to Christians, but every once in a while a door is open, and Jesus says, I am that door. Amen. And a door opens and you can enter in through that door. There's gap and you can enter in. But then there's a hinderer to try to hinder you from coming in that door and that opening, that gap. Amen. And another way to look at this, that after you have come in through the door and then you start doing a work for God, then there's gaps in your work. You'll work for a while and you'll quit for a while, and you'll work for a while and you'll quit for a while. You're up one day and you're down one day. You're in and you're out, and you're to and fro. At being hindered. And he says that because by it means to, it's a false or a lie or a deceiver, to deceive you from doing what God would have you to do. It is, he says that they are vexing you. Flesh is cramping you. It's binding you up. It's stopping you from doing what God would have you to do. And you need to crucify flesh this morning. Amen. Or it's going to kill you. One of the two. Amen. I mean, this is the time when the people of God, listen to me, the people of God, Moses and Aaron and the people of God was in the tent of the tabernacle, and they was on their knees and tears flowing down their face, and they was crying out to God because of the plague that was killing people, if you will. And they was crying and interceding, and as they was crying and weeping to God and serious with God, here comes one of the Israelite men with a Midianite woman right in the midst, right in the front of Moses, draping it right in front of this scene in front of Moses, and carried her into a tent to lay with her. But Phidias took a javelin and went in that tent and killed both of them. Amen. And that's what we got to do with flesh. We got to crucify flesh and the works of the flesh. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We got to do it for one another. Our own selves. I can't say no to the flesh to you, and you can't say it to me, but I can say it to myself. I can get serious with God for myself. I can't get serious for God. I can't go to heaven on mom and daddy's walk with God. I got to have my own walk with God. I looked at my picture last night, sitting there right before I went to bed. Picture of me and Dad was sitting right over there. Kind of mirrored that picture when I was a little bitty boy. And I was over here and held my hand up and had the Bible. And he had his hand up. We was there and same thing, holding the Bible and our hands up. Miss old Dad. Miss him when he gone. But I'm still Sister Jeannie again, Brother Dwight. Praise God, I'm going to see him again. I'll live with him forever. Ain't no death there going to separate us. No more sorrow, no more pain. Amen. Come on. I'm going to a city beyond compare. Yeah. Woo. Let me finish here. Moses, though the meekest man and far from a spirit of revenge, is ordered to vex the Midianites and smite them. We must set ourselves against that, whatever it is, which is an occasion to sin to us. Though it be right eye or a right hand that does offend us. He said, Brother David, I don't sin. James said 4:17, he said, for a man to do good, know to do good and don't do it to that man, it's sin. Good intentions not done is sin. The reason given for the mediating of this revenge is because they vex you with their wiles. Whatever draws us to sin should be a vexation to us. The mischief which the Midianites did to Israel by enticing them to whoredom must be remembered and punished with as much severity as with the Amalekites did in fighting with them when they came out of Egypt. Amen. We need to destroy everything in our life that hinders us from the work of the Lord. That's the most important thing we can do. I don't think when we're laying on our dying bed, we said, I wish I'd have went to one more store and shopped. I wish I'd have spent a few more hours at work, got a few more overtime hours. Come on. I wish I'd have washed my car one more time. I wish I'd have vacuumed my house. I wish I'd have got me a little bit better car, a bigger house. I think we'll be saying, I wish I'd have done a little bit more for God. I wish I'd have done a little bit more for God.
He said, Brother Dave, you say that a lot, that you're just kind of like pushing us all the time to do more for God.
I don't think none of us is doing more than enough, including myself. I think we all can do more. And I think if we'll all be honest, we'll agree with that this morning in here. Hallelujah. Jesus left all his glory in heaven. All that he had. All his interest, all his everything, and focused on me and you. Those come to instruments. Ephesians 6:11. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The only way to get this armor on is for it to fit. It's got to fit. We got to be living right. Amen. It's a one size fits all, but we all got to get to that size. It's the size of Christ. Amen. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You said, Brother David, you talk about earlier we wrestle against flesh. Hold on. Flesh is the only way it's creative, you know, it does things. And Satan wants to get control of your flesh so he can create havoc in your life and create sin. Listen, all the time before man came, Satan was already booted out of heaven. Amen. And so what happens? What happened? That not one abortion clinic was made. Not one beer joint. Not one thing of evil was made. But when man came along, he began to use men and influence them and entice them to sin and do wrong. And he started in the garden there by enticing Eve to take of the fruit. Amen. And then he gets control of men. Then he possesses men and he uses their bodies to do all the work of sin that you see upon this earth. So it's a spiritual thing. Its principalities and its powers against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. So that being the case, verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, it's not talking about standing there like, I've done everything that I know to do and I'm still standing up. He's talking about, Paul is describing a Roman soldier of victory. And he said, after you have done all, that you've killed all this enemy and you kill him and destroyed him. He said, stand and look around and said, what can I do next? And when you finish that job, when you're on your job and you've done what your boss told you to do, you don't just sit down and quit for the rest of the day. You go back and say, I finished that thing and I need something else to do. That's what you do. You stand back up. What's next to do? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. In other words, your procreative part of your spirit body. What you procreate to be truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that your heart would do the right thing in your life. Amen. And your feet shod with the preparation, being prepared with the gospel of peace. That's why I said in Psalms 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's a big, big shield that you can get down behind. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation. That's a renewed mind. We'll begin to see things differently than we've ever seen them before. Can I get a witness? You understand why the church lives holy. You got a renewed mind. You see the dangers of sin. You see where it leads.
sin to carry you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you're able to pay. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Psalm said that He's a light, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, with all persistence and supplication for all saints. Good intentions. You have some good intentions this morning. You intend to go to heaven. You intend to do any work for God. You intend one day to get saved. One of these days I'm going to get saved. Do you intend? Amen. Come on. Thank you, brother. He's already. Good intentions. You got some intentions. Come on, stand up. Keep moving. Lord, I want to fulfill my intentions. Lord, I want to renew my good intentions. God, I don't want to get sidetracked.